Chapter 130. Drive axles and differentials. Drive axles. Terminology. All rear-wheel drive vehicles use a drive axle assembly to transfer power from the drive shaft to the drive wheels. Because it is powered, it is sometimes called a live axle. Front-wheel drive cars use a dead axle or non-powered rear axle. The major parts of a drive axle include the ring and pinion gears, differential, and axle shafts. Purpose and function. The purpose and function of a drive axle assembly include the following. To change the direction of engine torque, see Figure 130-1. And to allow the drive wheels to rotate at different speeds, see Figure 130-2. A differential is a mechanical addition and subtraction assembly. By splitting the engine torque to the drive wheels when the vehicle is turning a corner, the torque forces cause the side gear and pinion gears to subtract torque from one side and add torque to the opposite side. See Figure 130-3. Note, the differential used in most front-wheel drive vehicles is incorporated into the transaxle assembly and is called the final drive assembly. The purpose and function of this final drive assembly is similar to the differential assembly used in rear-wheel drive vehicles. Refer to Figure 130-1. The differential assembly changes the direction of engine torque and increases the torque to the drive wheels. Parts of a differential. A differential is also called a rear end or abbreviated simply as a diff. Whenever any vehicle makes a turn, the outside wheel must travel a greater distance than the inside wheel. The drive shaft applies torque to the drive pinion gear that meshes below the center line of a ring gear as shown in see Figure 130-4. This type of gear set is called a high point gear set and requires gear lubrication specifically designed for this type of service. The ring gear is attached to a differential case that also contains small beveled spider gears or pinion gears. A pinion shaft passes through the two pinion gears in the case. In mesh with the pinion gears are two side gears that are splined to the inner ends of the axles. See Figure 130-5. Refer to Figure 130-2. The difference between the travel distance of the drive wheels is controlled by the differential. Refer to Figure 130-3. When the vehicle turns a corner, the inner wheel slows and the outer wheel increases in speed to compensate. This difference in rotational speed causes the pinion gears to walk around the slower side gear. The pinion and ring gears during operation. During operation, the position of the drive pinion gear on the ring gear changes. The ring gear mounts onto the differential case as shown in Figure 130-6. Each slanted ring gear tooth has two ends. Its toe is closest to the ring gear center, its heel, closest to the outside circumference. The tooth root is the depression lying between two teeth, and the crown is the very top of each tooth. While a vehicle accelerates, the drive pinion contacts the ring teeth on its drive, or convex side. While decelerating, the drive pinion contacts the ring teeth on its coast, or concave side. See Figure 130-7. The intermediate position between drive and coast, when neither the ring gear nor the pinion is driving each other, is called the floating position. Refer to Figure 130-4. A hypoid gear set uses a drive pinion that meshes with the ring gear below the center line of the ring gear. Refer to Figure 130-5. A pair of tapered roller bearings called carrier bearings is used to locate the drive pinion gear in the differential case and ring gear. Another pair of bearings locates the drive pinion gear. Differential gear ratios. The final gear reduction in the drivetrain occurs in the differential assembly. The amount of torque a gear set delivers depends on the gear ratio between the drive pinion gear and the driven ring gear. The gear ratio of the final drive, or differential, is called the axle ratio. To determine the axle ratio, divide the number of teeth of the ring gear, driven gear, by the number of teeth of the drive pinion gear, driving gear. Ring gear, 41 teeth, divided by pinion gear, 10 teeth, equals 4.10, axle ratio. The higher the axle ratio number, the faster the engine rotates for each rotation of the drive wheels. See the high performance tip change the axle ratio. Refer to Figure 130-6. The relationship among the ring gear and drive pinion as well as the side and spider gears. Refer to Figure 130-7. The drive side is the convex side of the ring gear except for some front axles used in four-wheel vehicles, and they often use the concave side on the drive side. Ring and pinion gear set types. The final drive gear ratio determines how many times a drive pinion tooth will make contact with a particular ring gear tooth during one revolution. This affects final drive gear set manufacture and service. Final drive gear sets may be divided into three types: depending on the final drive gear ratio. Number 1. Hunting gear sets are gear sets with final drive ratios expressible in a fraction that cannot be reduced to any lower terms. An example of a hunting gear set is one that has 41 teeth on the ring gear and 11 teeth on the drive pinion. This combination creates a 3.73 to 1 axle ratio. This type of gear set requires no timing marks or alignment during assembly. As the pinion gear drives the ring gear, each pinion tooth will hunt for, or seek, contact with every ring gear tooth. Number 2. Non-hunting gear sets are gear sets with final drive ratios expressible as a whole number. An example of a non-hunting gear set is a differential that uses 39 teeth on the ring gear and 13 teeth on the pinion gear, which gives a 3.00:1 gear ratio. Non-hunting gear sets require timing marks. As the pinion gear drives the ring gear, each pinion tooth contacts only a few ring gear teeth during each revolution. Number 3. Partially non-hunting gear sets are gear sets with final drive ratios expressible as a reducible fraction not equaling a whole number. An example of a partial non-hunting gear set is an axle ratio of 3.50 to 1. Partially non-hunting gear sets also require timing marks. During final drive operation, each pinion tooth contacts only some of the ring pinion teeth. For the pinion teeth to make contact with the highest number of ring gear teeth, the pinion gear must drive the ring gear more than one revolution. On non-hunting and partially non-hunting gears, manufacturers lap the contacting gear teeth to decrease wear. For this reason, these gear sets are marked to ensure proper alignment during assembly procedures. To preserve the wear patterns, the gear sets should be reassembled using the same alignment. This prolongs the life of the gear set and decreases operational noise. High performance tip: change the axle ratio to increase vehicle performance. Replace a high ratio, lower number, rear axle ratio with a lower ratio, higher number, rear axle. For example, stock rear end equals 3.23 to 1. Drive pinion has 13 teeth and the ring gear has 42 teeth. Replacement rear end equals 3.73 to 1, drive pinion has 11 teeth and the ring gear has 41 teeth. The high performance axle ratio, 3.73 to 1, allows the engine to rotate faster than the stock 3.23 to 1 ratio. Because most engines produce greater torque with increasing RPM, up to a point, this allows more torque to be applied to the drive wheels. Not only is the engine producing more torque, but the higher number gear ratio also multiplies the available torque times 3.73 instead of the original 3.23. However, there are several disadvantages associated with changing the rear end ratio. Decreased fuel economy. Incorrect speedometer and odometer readings that can affect the shifting of the automatic transmission unless changes are made to the computer or vehicle speed sensors. Increased engine noise due to the higher engine speed. Increased engine wear, again due to the increased engine speed. If you can live with these disadvantages, a change in the rear end ratio generates a real performance gain. Open differentials. Purpose and function. While a vehicle travels straight ahead, the speed of each driven wheel must be allowed to vary slightly as they go over bumps, potholes, railroad tracks, and other road surface irregularities. While cornering, the wheels must be able to turn at much greater differences in speed. Without some mechanism to allow for a difference in speed between the wheels, the left wheel would skid through the turn. Inside the differential gear housing 4-6 bevel gears help drive the axles. In most differentials, there are two bevel gears called pinions that are constantly meshed with a beveled axle side gear on each axle. The pinion and axle side gears are contained in a housing called the carrier or case. Torque flow through a standard open differential. Open differentials deliver equal torque to both wheels at all times. As the case rotates, driven by the engine through the ring and pinion gears, the cross shaft applies a drive force to the spider gears. The two side gears apply reaction forces that counter this drive force. See Figure 130-8. Because the spider gear is free to rotate about the cross shaft, the two reaction forces are equal. As the side gear applies a force to the spider gear applies an equal and opposite force to the side gear. It is this force, on the side gear, that supplies the torque to the axle that drives the wheel. Because the force on each side gear is equal, the torque supplied to each wheel is also equal. This is true regardless of whether one wheel is rotating faster than the other or at the same speed. Traveling straight ahead. Assuming that a vehicle has equal traction at both wheels, differential action does not occur. In other words, when traveling straight on smooth road surfaces, the ring gear, carrier, and the drive axles are traveling at the same speed. They rotate as a unit and the spider gears are not rotating on the cross shaft. Traveling around corners. The ability of the differential pinion gears to spin on their shafts allows each axle to rotate at a different speed. Case speed is always equal to the average speed of the two side gears. Since the ring gear rotates with the case and each side gear rotates with its axle, when a vehicle corners, the outside wheel gains the same number of RPMs that the wheel on the inside loses, while ring gear RPM remains constant. Refer to Figure 130-8. A close-up view of the side gears and spider, pinion, gear. Note the ridges on the gear teeth. These ridges are manufactured into the gear teeth to help retain lubricant so that no metal-to-metal contact occurs. Limited slip differentials. Purpose and function. When a vehicle equipped with a standard differential spins a tire, the opposite wheel does not receive enough torque to move the vehicle. To solve this problem, most manufacturers use differentials that direct more power to the side gear attached to the spinning axle. Many differentials do this by forcing the side gear against the revolving case. This bypasses differential action, allowing the case to drive the side gear directly. A limited slip differential distributes torque to both wheels equally or unequally, allowing the wheels to turn at the same or at different speeds. See Figure 130-9. The only means of having the standard differential apply different amounts of torque to each axle is to have the case drive the side gear directly, bypassing the pinion gears. One means of accomplishing this is to literally push the side gear out of mesh with the pinion gears against the rotating case. Refer to Figure 130-9. Figure A, a two-wheel drive vehicle equipped with an open differential. Figure B, a two-wheel drive vehicle equipped with a limited slip differential. Refer to Figure 130-10. Track lock limited slip differential. This type of limited slip differential uses the preload force from a spring and the torque generated by the side gears as the two axles rotate at different rates to apply the clutches and limit the amount of difference in the speed of two axles. Parts and operation. Preloaded clutches use two mechanisms to accomplish this action. First, a coil, Belleville, or a leaf spring applies a force against the two side gears. See Figure 130-10. Second, a multi-disc clutch pack or cons lie behind one or both of the side gears. Vehicle manufacturers refer to these differentials using various brand names, such as Positive Traction, Sure Grip, Anti-Spin, and Traction Lock. When forces inside the differential push the side gear against the case, the clutch pack allows the gear to lock smoothly without jerking. The pack, lying between at least one of the backs of the side gears and the case, consists of two types of alternatively stacked steel discs with holes through their middle sections. The first is coated with friction material and the second is not. The interior splines of the friction disc holes mesh with the splines on the center hub protruding from the backside of the side gear. The holes of the steel discs are not splined. Instead, they have two or three tabs along their outside diameter that fit into slots machined into the differential case. As the side gear is pushed farther against the case, each friction plate rubs against the steel plate in front of and behind it, gradually slowing the side gear's rotation until it smoothly locks against the case. Number 1. The rotating differential pinions apply pressure against the side gear. The amount of pressure depends on the traction beneath the tire connected to the side gear. And Number 2. The spring applies the second force that allows the preloaded clutch to work. This spring, whether a coil, leaf, or Belleville, preloads the clutch discs, narrowing the clearances between them. Tighter springs cause the differential to lock up sooner than looser springs. To vary the amount of traction a tire must have before its axle side gear locks up, many differentials use adjustment shims. Available in different thicknesses, manufacturers install them between the rear of the clutch packs and the differential case. The thicker the shims, the sooner the differential locks up. Some differentials rely on the preload spring alone to determine when the side gear locks up. They use no shims. During operation, the clutch discs slide against each other every time the vehicle turns and corners. This action creates friction, making it important to add the manufacturer-recommended lubricant that contains a friction modifier. This lubricant may already be included in the gear oil or may be a special additive. Using improper lubricants may cause the discs to wear prematurely and vibrate during turns. Cone type. The second type of preloading clutch differential uses two tapered cones instead of multi-disc clutch packs. Positioned between the side gears and the case, the cone's tapered end fits inside a dished receptacle machined into the case. The same forces that push the side gears against the case and the clutch pack differential push the side gears against the case and the tapered cone differential. When these forces press the cones into their dished receptacles, they come to a stop smoothly, locking the side gears to the case. Viscous coupled limited slip units. Differentials can be designed to work on the principle of a viscous coupling. This design uses a series of closely positioned plates, which do not physically touch one another. Half of the plates are splined to the case, and the other half are alternately splined to each side gear. The plates are housed in a sealed chamber, which is filled with a thick and viscous silicon-based fluid. The silicon allows normal speed differences between two shafts, resisting high-speed differences associated with wheel spin on one shaft. This type of viscous couple differential is used in the front differentials of some Japanese front-wheel drive vehicles and in four-wheel drive vehicles. The Eaton Locker Differential. The Eaton Locker's sturdier design makes it more efficient in transferring torque from the driveline to the axles while in the locked position than the clutch-type multi-disc differential. When a vehicle spins a rear wheel, both the preloaded multi-disc differential and the Eaton Locker compress their clutch packs lying between the side gears and the case. This allows the case to directly drive the axles, bypassing the effect of the rotating differential pinions. The Eaton and preloaded multi-disc differentials differ in how they compress their clutch packs. The preloaded multi-disc uses either a coil, leaf, or Belleville spring to apply initial pressure against the side gears in the clutch pack. As the rotating pinion gears push against a slower moving side gear, it is forced against the case, thereby compressing the discs in the clutch pack together. The Eaton differential, on the other hand, uses a unique mechanism to collapse the clutch packs. See Figure 130-11. It has four parts. Number 1. A governor with two flyweights. Number 2. A cam plate and cam side gear on the left side. Number 3. A latching bracket. And Number 4. A thrust block. These parts allow the Eaton to momentarily shift into the locked mode when side gear and case rotational speeds differ by more than 100 RPM. Refer to Figure 130-11 and Eaton Locker Differential. Torsen Differentials. The torsen differential is a torque-sensing, locking design that uses a set of worm side gears in mesh with individual worm wheel pinions that are supported by the differential case. See Figure 130-13. The pinions have spur gear sections machined on them at each end, which form the connection between left and right side pinions. Because of the worm and worm wheel configurations, the side gears can turn the pinions, but the pinions cannot turn the side gears. The result is a complex operation, which meets all drive requirements without excessive wheel slip. This unit has been available as original equipment on several vehicles as well as for many aftermarket applications. Case study. I used to have a limited slip differential. An owner of a Chevrolet S10 pickup truck equipped with a V6 and 5-speed manual transmission complained that he used to be able to spin both rear tires on dry pavement, but lately only one tire spins. The service technician assigned to the repair order was very familiar with what might have occurred. Many General Motors pickup trucks are equipped with an Eaton locking differential that uses a torque-limiting disc. The teeth of this disc are designed to shear to prevent the possibility of breaking an axle. See Figure 130-12. The service procedure to correct the customer's concern is to replace the left-hand clutch plates. Usually, the shearing of the torque clinking teeth is associated with a loud bang in the rear axle. The differential will continue to operate normally as a standard, or open, differential. The summary. The complaint: customer complained that the truck used to spin both rear tires when accelerating rapidly from a stop, but now only one tire spins. The cause: the torque-limiting disc in the differential had sheared. The correction: the left-hand clutch discs were replaced, to which restored proper limited slip differential operation. Refer to Figure 130-12. This Eaton design differential uses a torque-limiting disc to prevent the possibility of breaking an axle in the event of a high torque demand. When the disc tangs shear, the differential will continue to function but as an open rather than as a limited slip differential. Refer to Figure 130-13. A torsen differential. This type of differential provides torque to both drive wheels even if one tire is on ice. The complex system of gears allows this smooth transfer of torque without the use of clutches. Refer to Figure 130-14. This pinion flange is equipped with a damper weight to help dampen drive line vibrations. Differential components. Drive pinions. The drive pinion gear of the differential is driven by a flange often called a companion flange. The heavy bulk of the companion flange helps dampen vibrations and absorb shocks in the drive line. See Figure 130-14. The final drive pinion shaft may be supported by bearings using one of two methods. Number 1. The first method and most common, uses two opposed taper roller bearings, with the collapsible, or compressible, spacer separating the two inner races to support an overhung pinion. See figure 130-15. The term overhung means all of the bearings supporting the pinion shaft lie on one side of the pinion gear. The bearings are preloaded, a state that minimizes wobble and endwise movement while the drive pinion shaft rotates. Number 2. The second method uses two opposed taper roller bearings to support a straddle-mounted pinion, but the distance between them is smaller than in the overhung design. Most noticeably, a third smaller bearing attaches to a stem-like machine pilot protruding from the gear end of the drive pinion shaft. This third bearing, usually a straight roller type, fits into a bore in the carrier. Unlike the overhung design, bearings supporting a straddle-mounted pinion lie on both sides of the pinion gear. Like the overhung design, a straddle-mounted pinion shaft usually has a compressible preloaded spacer positioned between the two larger differential case bearings. Straddle-mounted pinions are usually mounted in a pinion housing that can be removed from the carrier. Refer to Figure 130-15. A collapsible spacer-type drive pinion shaft. Refer to Figure 130-16. Side bearings are press-fit on the differential case. Drive pinion gear depth. The pinion shaft mounting method also determines how deeply the pinion gear meshes into the ring gear. This is called pinion depth and helps adjust the precise gear tooth relationship between the ring and pinion gears. You can vary the pinion depth adjustment by changing the thickness of a shim, or spacer. This shim is located between the rear preloaded bearing and the pinion gear, or between the removable pinion housing and the carrier. Side bearings. The differential case is supported by two side bearings pressed onto its sides. See Figure 130-16. These are usually tapered roller bearings and are preloaded to ensure case rotation without axial or radial movement. Side bearing preload is adjusted either by threaded adjusting nuts as shown in Figure 130-17, or by placement of adjusting shims, spacers, on either side of the case between the bearing outer races and the inside of the carrier. The method used to adjust side bearing preload is also used to adjust ring gear to pinion backlash, tooth clearance between one gear and the other. This is necessary to ensure enough space between the teeth of the two gears to allow for expansion of the gear tooth dimensions as the unit warms up to operating temperature. When the unit is warm, there must be just enough space between the gear teeth to allow adequate lubrication of the tooth surfaces and still allow full tooth contact for good transfer of torque from one gear to the other. Too much clearance between the gears will allow one to travel too far before contacting the other when the powertrain goes from drive to coast and back again. Excess clearance can result in final drive noise and gear tooth damage. Refer to Figure 130-17. Some side bearings use threaded adjusters to adjust preload. Differential axle bearings. Ball bearings, rear axles. If ball bearings are used, the bearing itself absorbs the radial forces. The bearing is placed on the axle and retained by a pressed-on collar. A stamped steel plate bolts to the axle housing and keeps the axle in place. The bearing is pre-lubricated when it is manufactured. An oil seal is located on the inboard side of the bearing retainer collar, and keeps the hypoid lubricant from reaching the bearing or the brake assembly. In this design, there is no axle shaft end play, thrust, adjustment. Straight roller bearings, rear axles. If a straight roller bearing is used, the axle surface serves as the inner race. See Figure 130-18. The outer race is pressed into the housing, and a grease seal is pressed in afterward. The bearing is lubricated by the hypoid lubricant. This design uses a C-washer on the inboard end of the axle, which prevents the axle from moving outward. Outward thrust forces are taken by the C-washer through the axle's side gear and thrust washer, to the differential case and side bearing. Inward thrust forces are taken by the axle shaft inner end pushing on the spider pinion shaft, and passed on to the differential case and the opposite side bearing. There is no axle shaft end play adjustment with this design. Refer to Figure 130-18. Figure A, the axle shaft itself is the inner race if a straight roller bearing is used. Figure B, the straight roller bearings are lubricated by the rear axle fluid, and a leak at the rear axle seal can cause this fluid to get onto brake components. Tapered roller bearings, rear axles. If a tapered roller bearing is used, axle shaft end play is adjustable. The bearing is pre-lubricated before it is installed and is held by a press fit on the axle shaft. A retaining ring is then pressed on the shaft next to the bearing to secure it in place. The axle is prevented from moving outward by a stamped steel retainer plate that bolts to the axle housing. The inner diameter of the plate is threaded to accept a bearing adjusting nut, which is similar in appearance and function to a differential side bearing adjuster. A variation of this design has the end play adjustment made by shims between the axle housing and the brake backing plate. Thrust is taken from the inner end of the axle by a thrust block mounted on the spider pinion shaft, and passed onto the opposite axle, through its length to the opposite wheel bearing. Differential identification. Before any service work is performed on a differential assembly, the exact axle specification must be determined. Vehicle manufacturers often use differentials from more than one axle manufacturer. Visual identification usually identifies the manufacturer and size only. Axle assembly number, usually stamped in the axle tube of the differential assembly and identifies the gear ratio and other information. And each manufacturer has its own individual ratios, parts, service procedures, and specifications. Differential assembly identification includes visual identification, usually identifies the manufacturer and size only. Axle assembly number, usually stamped in the axle tube of the differential assembly and identifies the gear ratio and other information. Limited slip identification tag, often the only external identification. Whether or not the axle assembly is an open design or limited slip design. And differential cover shape and number of bolts used to retain the cover. Refer to Figure 130-19. The pinion gear thrust washers can be destroyed by spinning one wheel for an extended period of time. Tech tip. Don't spin those wheels. While driving on ice or snow-covered roads, it is common to see drivers moving slowly up a hill by simply spinning one drive wheel. However, when one wheel is spinning and the other wheel is stationary, or close to stationary, the pinion gears are spinning twice as fast as the drive wheel. This spinning of the drive wheel has been known to completely wear down the pinion gear thrust washers in less than 1 minute. See Figure 130-19. The same wear can occur if different size tires are used on the same drive axle. Therefore, to prevent expensive repairs, avoid unnecessary tire spinning and check that both tires on the same axle are the same size, brand name, and condition. Determining the axle ratio of a differential. To determine the axle ratio of a differential without having to remove the axle housing cover, simply follow these steps. Step 1. Hoist the vehicle safely. Step 2. Mark the rear tires with masking tape at 12 o'clock position. Step 3. Mark the drive shaft with masking tape. Step 4. Have an assistant hold one drive tire to keep it from moving and slowly rotate the other drive tire exactly 10 times while the assistant counts the drive shaft revolutions. Step 5. Multiply the drive shaft revolutions by 2, except for a limited slip differential, and then move the decimal point one place to the left. For example, if 10 turns of the tire result in 18.5 turns of the drive shaft, that multiplied by 2 equals 37.0, then, moving the decimal point to the left one place equals a 3.70:1 gear ratio. Tech tip. A quick and easy backlash test. Excessive clearance, or lash, between the drive pinion and the ring gear can cause driveline clash noise during a gear selector change. To check if the cause is due to the differential, simply hoist the vehicle and, while one wheel and the drive shaft are being held stationary, use your hand to move the opposite wheel. The maximum amount the tire should move is 1 inch, or 2.5 centimeters, measured at the tread of the tire. If backlash is greater than this, then further inspection of the differential assembly is required. Beside excessive clearance between the drive pinion and the ring gear, the wear may also be between the pinion and the side gears. Rear end noise diagnosis. One of the major reasons why differentials are serviced is to correct a noise problem. Knowing when and under what conditions the noise is noticeable is a big help in identifying which bearing or component is the likely cause. Typical noise and its sources include grinding or growling noise while turning, usual cause is a defective axle bearing. Why noise during cruise, drive pinion bearings are the likely causes of this type of noise. Differential inspection. Carefully inspect the differential for obvious damage or wear. See Figure 130-20. Check the backlash. The backlash is the amount of clearance between the drive pinion and the ring gear. Excessive backlash could indicate excessive wear. Use a dial indicator as shown in Figure 130-21 to check and compare the results with specifications. Also use a dial indicator to check ring gear runout. See Figure 130-22. If any of the visual measurement tests indicate a problem or a noise analysis indicates a bearing problem, the axle assembly should be disassembled for further analysis and service. Refer to Figure 130-20. This differential has obviously been leaking. If the differential lubricant is low, where may have occurred that would require further inspection. Refer to Figure 130-21. Figure A, backlash is determined by mounting a dial indicator to the differential housing and placing the button of the gauge against a tooth of the ring gear. Moving the ring gear back and forth will indicate on the dial indicator the amount of backlash. Figure B, backlash is the clearance between the drive pinion and the ring gear teeth. Refer to Figure 130-22. Ring gear runout should be less than 0.002 of an inch, or 0.05 millimeters, as measured by a dial indicator. Refer to Figure 130-23. Force has to be applied to the ring gear to achieve a proper contact pattern. Tooth contact pattern test. A tooth contact pattern test is an excellent method for checking proper drive pinion depth as well as proper backlash between the drive pinion and the ring gear. Any faults in these areas will be reflected in the pattern. The pattern test involves the following steps. Step 1. Clean the gear teeth of the ring gear in the drive pinion. Step 2. Using a small brush, apply a light coating of iron oxide compound. Step 3. Use a small pry bar to apply a load to the ring gear to achieve a more accurate contact pattern. See Figure 130-23. Step 4. Rotate the drive pinion until the ring gear turns 1 revolution, about 3 revolutions of the drive pinion gear. Step 5. Repeat rotating the drive pinion in the opposite direction. This will create a contact pattern on both the drive side and the coast side of the ring gear. Note, the drive side is the convex surface of the ring gear teeth. The coast side is the concave side of the ring gear. This is true except for many differentials used on the front of four-wheel drive vehicles. In this case, the drive side and the front differential is the concave surface and the coast side the service information for the vehicle being serviced for the correct interpretation of the pattern results. See Figure 130-24 for good and bad tooth contact patterns and what could have caused them. Refer to Figure 130-24. Tooth contact pattern. Refer to Figure 130-25. Mark the differential bearing caps before removing them to make sure that they are replaced in the same location. Differential disassembly. Start the differential disassembly by removing the axle housing cover. Be sure that the old rear end lubricant is drained into a disposal container according to local, state, provincial, and federal laws and regulations. After the cover has been removed, complete the disassembly by following these steps. Step 1. After the cover has been removed, remove pinion shaft lock bolt. Step 2. Remove pinion shaft. Step 3. Remove 2 spider gears and 2 axle side gears. Step 4. Push axles in and remove C-clips. Step 5. Remove axles. Step 6. Mark and remove case caps. Step 7. Using a case spreader or 2 pry bars, pry up and remove carrier case keeping the shims separate. See Figure 130-25. Step 8. Remove pinion shaft nut and washer. Discard the nut. Step 9. Mark and remove companion flange with suitable puller. Step 10. Remove front pinion seal and front pinion bearing. Step 11. Using suitable punch, drive pinion gear rearward until it is free of housing. And Step 12. Remove crush collar, never reuse, see Figure 130-26. Caution, do not use an air impact wrench to remove or install the drive pinion nut. The hammer action of the impact wrench can cause the roller bearings to be pounded into the race. This denting of the race is called brinoling and can cause premature bearing failure. Refer to Figure 130-26. Pinion gear and associated parts. The pinion end yoke is also called the pinion flange. Pinion shaft bearing replacement. The pinion shaft usually has 2 tapered roller bearings. The small diameter of each bearing faces the other. This arrangement allows the 2 bearings to absorb thrust load in both directions. When tapered roller bearings are used in a differential, it is very important that they have the proper preload. If a tapered roller bearing is too loose, too little preload, then the bearing cannot properly support and position the pinion shaft. If the preload is too great, excessive heat will quickly destroy the bearing as it expands with heat during normal operation of the rear axle assembly. 2 methods are used to ensure proper drive pinion gear preload, see Figure 130-27. Preload shims and collapsible spacer. The rear pinion shaft bearing, closest to the drive pinion gear, is usually pressed out the drive pinion. A shim is usually located between the drive pinion gear and the rear drive pinion bearing to properly position the drive pinion in relation to the ring gear. The ring gear and pinion are manufactured as a matched pair and must be installed correctly to be assured of quiet operation and long service life. See Figure 130-28. The drive pinion bearing must be pressed off using a hydraulic press or a special tool. Drive pinion depth. The drive pinion gear and ring gear are manufactured as a matched set and must be installed as a set. Due to variances in the production of these gears, it is often necessary to vary the thickness of a shim, thin metal spacer, between the rear pinion bearing and the pinion gear to provide the correct contact tooth pattern when the gears are assembled. Correct drive pinion depth measurement can be determined in several different ways. Wear pattern analysis. This method is useful as a first step and a last step to verify correct setup, discussed earlier in the chapter. It is time-consuming to use this method to determine the thickness of the drive pinion shim because the rear pinion bearing must be pressed off and then back on for each shim change. Plus and minus markings on the drive pinion. The end of the pinion gear is usually marked as to the variance needed to create the proper ring gear to drive pinion pattern. A plus sign means the gear is too long and removing a shims is required when assembling the drive pinion into the axle housing. A minus sign means that the gear is too short and a shims will be needed when assembling the drive pinion into the axle housing. A gauging set and depth micrometer. This is a common method used to determine the correct shim thickness necessary to provide the proper gear pattern. See Figure 130-29. Refer to Figure 130-27. The pinion on the left uses a collapsible spacer, and the pinion on the right uses shims to provide the necessary preload. To the pinion shaft bearings. Refer to Figure 130-28. The ring and pinion gears are a matched set and are marked for correct pinion depth variance. Pinion gear preload. After the proper drive pinion depth has been determined, the correct size shim is installed and the rear drive pinion bearing is pressed onto the drive pinion. The outer races of the pinion bearing should be replaced in the axle housing and the pinion shaft placed in the housing. It is then necessary to apply the specified preload to the pinion bearings. A new drive pinion nut should be used and tightened to specifications. After the nut has been tightened, torque needed to rotate the drive pinion should be measured using a beam-type torque wrench. The drive pinion nut is then tightened farther until the turning torque is within specifications. See Figure 130-30. Refer to Figure 130-29. Special tool kit used for determining the correct pinion shaft shim thickness. Checking and correcting backlash. If the ring gear and pinion are being replaced, the bolts that hold the ring gear to the differential case must be replaced. See Figure 130-31. The differential case with the ring gear is then placed into the differential housing. Backlash is the clearance between the drive pinion gear and the ring gear. A dial indicator is used to measure backlash, as shown in Figure 130-32. The backlash should be checked at 3 or 4 points around the ring gear and the lash should not vary over 0.002 of an inch, or 0.05 millimeters. Backlash normally is between 0.005 and 0.008 of an inch, or 0.10 and 0.20 millimeters, for most axle assemblies. Always check the specifications for the differential being serviced. See Figure 130-33. Backlash is corrected by moving the ring gear either closer or farther away from the drive pinion gear. The correction is made by either of two methods depending on the manufacturer and the type of differential. Transferring shims from one side of the axle housing to the other. And turning threaded adjusters located in the differential housing bores, as shown in Figure 130-34. Refer to Figure 130-30. Using an inch-pound torque wrench to check the rotating torque of the drive pinion. This procedure is very important if the axle uses a collapsible spacer. The drive pinion nut should be gradually tightened and the rotating torque checked to prevent over-tightening the nut. If the rotating torque is higher than specifications, the collapsible spacer will require replacement and the installation procedure must be repeated. Refer to Figure 130-31. If the ring gear has been removed from the differential case or if a new ring gear is being installed, always replace the ring gear bolts. Refer to Figure 130-32. Backlash should be between 0.005 and 0.008 of an inch on most differentials. If the backlash is too great, add shim thickness to the ring gear side and subtract shim thickness from the opposite side. Refer to Figure 130-33. Figure A. Some vehicle manufacturers recommend using a housing spreader tool that fits into the round openings on both sides. Figure B. The spreader tool being installed. The housing is spread a specified amount and the differential is then installed into the housing. Tech tip. Click click is okay, clunk clunk is not. An experienced service technician was observed checking the backlash on a differential. The technician was simply turning the drive pinion by grasping the pinion flange and using wrist action to quickly rotate it first in one direction and then the other. The technician explained that if it made a click click sound, the backlash was usually between 0.005 and 0.008 of an inch, which is usually within specifications for most differentials. If, however, the sound made was more like a clunk clunk, then the backlash was greater than 0.010 of an inch and had to be corrected. To summarize what the sounds mean when the drive pinion is moved back and forth. No sound when moved back and forth, too little or no backlash, backlash must be adjusted. A click click sound, backlash is usually within specifications, double check with a dial indicator and compare against specifications for the axle being serviced. A clunk clunk sound, usually too much backlash, correction is required to restore proper backlash. Refer to figure 130-34. Figure A, note the hex shape of the threaded adjuster used to adjust side bearing preload and ring gear backlash on a Dodge Dakota truck. Figure B, a long-handled adjuster tool is needed to turn the side bearing adjuster on this truck. Refer to figure 130-35. On many axles, it is necessary to use a special tool to install steel spacers, or shims, to achieve the specified backlash and side bearing preload. Setting side bearing preload. After the correct backlash has been determined, the side bearing must be correctly preloaded. To accomplish the proper preload, thicker shims than were used to set proper backlash are placed between the housing and the differential to provide for the proper preload on the side bearings. See figure 130-35. Always follow the procedures specified for the axle being serviced. A typical axle may require the installation of a shim 0.004 thicker on both sides. After setting the preload, double check that the backlash is within specification. Frequently asked question. What is a spool rear end? A spool is a solid piece of metal that takes the place of the side gears and pinion gears in a differential assembly, see figure 130-36. A spool used in drag racing is not suitable for street driving because the spool does not allow for any differences in the speeds of the drive wheel during cornering. Obviously, drag vehicles do not turn corners while racing and the spool rear end is one of the reasons they bounce when turning around at the end of the strip to return to the pits. Reassembly of the differential assembly. After the backlash has been checked to be within factory specifications, the axle shafts can be installed. See figure 130-37. Install the retaining C-clip or bolt the retainer to the axle housing. Clean and install the differential cover and fill with the specified differential lubrication. Refer to figure 130-36. A spool used in a rear end for drag racing only. Refer to figure 130-37. Install the axle shaft, being careful to not damage the seal. Frequently asked question. What do I do about drive pinion bearing preload when I replace just the pinion seal? To replace a pinion seal, the drive pinion nut and pinion flange must be removed. Caution, do not use an air impact wrench on the drive pinion nut. The pinion bearings can be damaged by the impact of the wrench. Before the nut is removed, make a mark on the pinion nut and on the axle housing. After the new pinion seal is installed, tighten the pinion nut to the same position it was in before disassembly and then rotate the nut 1/16 of an inch, or 1.5 mm, farther. This extra rotation makes sure that the collapsible space, crush sleeve, is still able to maintain the proper preload on the pinion bearing. Another method is to measure the rotating torque of the drive pinion using an inch-pound beam-type torque wrench after removing both rear wheels and brake drums. After installing the replacement pinion shaft seal, tighten the drive pinion nut until the rotating torque is 3 to 5 inch-pounds more than the reading obtained before the pinion nut was removed. Figure 130-38, a container of GL5SAE80W90 gear lubricant. Differential lubricant. Because all differentials use high-point gear sets, a special lubricant is necessary because the gears both roll and slide between their meshed teeth. Gear lubes, or GL, are specified by the American Petroleum Institute. GL, 1. Straight mineral oil. GL, 2. Worm gear lubricant. GL, 3. Mild EP lubricant, will not protect high-point gears. GL, 4. Mild EP lubricant suitable for manual transmissions transaxles. GL, 5. EP lubricant okay for hypoid gears, meets military MIL L2150B requirements, See Figure 130-38. Note, EP additives contain sulfurized esters and organic sulfur-phosphorus compounds. These ingredients give the lubricant a very strong pungent smell. To avoid possible skin irritation, always wear protective gloves or wash your hands thoroughly with soap and water if exposed to differential lubricant. Most differentials require: Number 1. SAE, 80W90, GL, 5. Number 2. SAE, 75W90, GL, 5. And Number 3. SAE, 80W, GL, 5. Note, always check the exact specification before adding or replacing rear axle lubricant. Limited slip differentials, often abbreviated LSD, usually use an additive that modifies the friction characteristics of the rear axle lubricant to prevent chattering while cornering. Hint, if chattering becomes noticeable while cornering, replace the old differential lubricant with the correct lubricant and add limited slip additives if specified by the vehicle manufacturer. After refilling the differential, drive the vehicle in a figure 8 pattern at least 4 times to help all of the lubricant and additives get into the clutch plates. This usually stops the chattering while cornering problem. Refer to Figure 130-39. The beginning automotive student did not realize that the axle housing cover could fit the wrong way. The only problem was that the ring gear scraped against the cover. Case study. I didn't know it would fit the wrong way. An automotive student changed the differential lubricant by removing the housing cover. The cover was reinstalled and then filled with the correct lubricant. However, when the student drove the vehicle, it made a grinding sound that was not there before the differential service. When the cover was removed, it was discovered that the cover had been installed with the raised area on the right side of the housing instead of on the left side, and the ring gear had rubbed a groove in the cover. As shown in Figure 130-39, installing the cover correctly stopped the grinding sound. The summary. The complaint, vehicle, made a grinding noise after a differential fluid service procedure was performed. The cause, the drive axle housing cover was installed incorrectly. The correction, the cover was removed and installed correctly. Review questions. Question 1. Explain how to determine the axle ratio without removing the housing cover. Question 2. Describe how to perform a ring gear tooth contact pattern test. Question 3. List 3 methods that may be used to determine the proper drive pinion gear depth. Question 4. Explain how to achieve proper drive pinion gear bearing preload. Question 5. Describe how to adjust the position of the ring gear to achieve the proper backlash. Chapter Quiz. Question 1. Inside the drive axle of a rear-wheel drive vehicle, the ring gear is attached to the A. drive shaft, B. pinion gear, C. differential case, D. spider gears. Question 2. A limited slip differential has what on the side gears that A. standard, or open, differential does not have? A. sliders, B. clutch packs, C. slip teeth, D. slipper rings. Question 3. A collapsible spacer is used in some differentials to provide A. a lubrication path to the drive pinion bearing, B. the proper preload for the side bearings, C. the proper preload for the drive pinion bearings, D. the proper amount of slippage in a limited slip differential. Question 4. The shim used on a drive pinion gear is used to properly position the gear so that it can correctly mesh with the A. ring gear, B. side gear, C. differential pinion gears, D. both B and C. Question 5. Technician says that the convex side of the ring gear is the drive side on most rear axle assemblies. Technician B says that the convex side of the ring gear is the drive side on differentials used in the front of many four-wheel drive vehicles. Which technician is correct? A. technician A only, B. technician B only, C. both technicians A and B, D. neither a technician A nor B. Question 6. A growling sound is heard from the rear of a rear-wheel drive vehicle during cornering only. Technician A says that defective rear axle bearings may be the cause. Technician B says that defective drive pinion bearings may be the cause. Which technician is correct? A. technician A only, B. technician B only, C. both technicians A and B, D. neither a technician A nor B. Question 7. Technician says that if the backlash is okay, then the side-bearing preload is also okay. Technician B says that a ring gear tooth pattern check will indicate if the drive pinion depth is correct. Which technician is correct?
A.
Technician A only.
B. Technician B only.
C. Both technicians A and B. D. Neither a technician A nor B. Question 8. The backlash exceeds specifications. The technician should position the ring gear.
A.
Closer to the drive pinion gear.
B.
Farther from the drive pinion gear. C. Toward the heel.
D. Toward the toe.
Question 9. The backlash is less than specifications, too low. This will cause the ring gear tooth pattern to be too close to the
A.
heel.
B.
flag.
C.
toe.
D.
face. Question 10. Two technicians are discussing which lubricants are used in a limited slip differential. Technician A says to use SA80W140. Technician B says that most vehicle manufacturers usually specify SAE80W90 be used with or without special limited slip additives. Which technician is correct?
A.
Technician A only.
B.
Technician B only. C. Both technicians A and B.
D.
Neither a technician A nor B. End of chapter 130.